You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenz. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. We've got a great show lined up for you this afternoon. Mark Lawrence, playbook.com, will join us. Going to talk some NFL football with Mark Lawrence, a little college of football, but we'll break down the college grid tomorrow with Joe Lisi on the show. Tony Cincotta is going to step up in it. We're going to talk some NFL Week 3 DFS. Take a look at the quarterbacks and the pricing over at DraftKings with the Tony Cincotta, sportsbookreview.com. Donnie Wrightside steps up and in. We'll talk some NFL football with Donnie Wrightside. We'll take a look at that Philadelphia Eagle, New York Giant game and a couple other very interesting matchups on the board this week in the National Football League. All right, we've got a couple of weeks left of Major League Baseball. The NASCAR playoffs have begun. We said it before the chase started. We'll tell you once again right now. Just take Martin Truex Jr., all right? It's a fait accompli. This guy's going to win the chase for the cup. What do they call it? The Monster Cup? I don't know. It's pretty cool, the Monster Cup, but they didn't like the sound of the Monster Cup. But, yeah, the Monster Cup, man. Give me the cup. Speaking of cups, they're going to start playing hockey pretty soon. So, in other words, it's a pretty cool time of the year to be a sports fan, to be a fantasy player, and to be a sports bettor like. So, we head into week three of the National Football League right now. And, well, it's still, you know, it's still too early to make any, you know, long-term judgments as far as the National Football League teams are concerned. Is it? Is it really? You know, Bill Parcells said you are what your record says you are, but he said that after eight games. Well, we live in a different era right now. Nobody has any patience, and nobody can wait eight games to make a damn judgment, can we? But the thing is, the National Football League, it's not like Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball is a freaking marathon, man. It's 6 months. It's 162 games. You can stumble out of the gate and still rack up 100 wins, as we've seen the Los Angeles Dodgers do this year. The NBA, the NHL, similar situations. You know, you can stumble out of the gate. You can struggle for the first month or so. You can struggle for the first 2 months. It's an 82-game season. You can flick the switch and make the playoffs. The National Football League, different story. It's only 16 games. So even though we're only two games in, that's 12.5% of the season already done. Now, for the record, I'm sure you've heard this stat many times, and I've been repeating this over and over. 0-2 football teams only make the playoffs 11% of the time. 0-3 football teams? 0-3, there's a better chance of me replacing Ryan Seacrest, the host of American Idol. All right? You got a 2% chance. Maybe a little bit better than I do of replacing Ryan Seacrest. You have a 2% chance of making the playoffs if you're 0-3, man, all right? Which means the New York Giants, the L.A. Chargers, and the New Orleans Saints, I guess the Cincinnati Bengals as well, they better find a way to win this weekend. If you look at the New York Giants, New York Giants have more problems than Paul Manafort does right now. You know, they got problems all over the place, and their biggest problem is protecting their quarterback, the Capital City goofball, Eli Manning. So they're having a problem protecting Manning. Manning, obviously, is not a very mobile quarterback. And we see, if Manning doesn't get time, Manning's not very good. I've been saying this for years, man. Eli Manning is essentially Andy Dalton, but somehow he's got two Super Bowl rings. You know, Eli Manning's going to be a Hall of Famer. And, you know, really, is he really a Hall of Famer? Is Eli Manning like Joe Montana? Is he really at that level? But he's played in every damn game, not well, but he's won two Super Bowls. You know, Jim Plunkett won a couple of Super Bowls, too, as our main man, O-Man, in Boston brought up when we were discussing this Manning Hall of Fame stuff. But nevertheless, are the Giants going to win this game? I don't know. You know, maybe. And, you know, the only saving grace for teams that are 0-2 right now in the National Football League is the league's not very good. You know, there's not a lot of teams that are running away with it or anything like that. There are still 9 undefeated teams. There's already only 5 teams that are 2-0 against the spread. Only 5 teams in the National Football League have actually covered their first 2 games of the season. You know, it's while it is early, it is and it isn't, and it depends what division you're in. Look, the Houston Texans, they can stumble and bumble around. It's a terrible division. But if you're in the NFC East right now, or you're in the AFC West right now, and you're the Chargers, you've got serious-ass problems. And if the Chargers can't draw right now, they couldn't draw for their season opener their franchise opener in Los Angeles. How the hell do you think the Chargers are going to draw if they're like 3-6 or something in a couple of weeks? How's that going to work out for them? So while it's still early right now, this is a massive week, man. We're going to find out a lot about these football teams. And I'll tell you what, there's a couple of football teams that are 2-0, and I'm not even sure how good they are. They might not be any better than the teams that are 0-2. There's a fine line between the Carolina Panthers and the New Orleans Saints, I think. Carolina Panthers just won a football game without scoring a damn touchdown, all right? And, you know, they were one of 13 teams in the National Football League last week that scored one touchdown or less. So there's a lot of ineptitude to go around right now. You know, the Baltimore Ravens are 2-0. How good are they really? Are they really that good of a football team? You know, Andy Dalton turned the football over 5 times, and they played the Cleveland Browns in week 2. Now they get the Jags. I think they're going to be 3-0, and I'm still not going to be sure how good they are. But you know what? If you're 3-0, you got a pretty good chance of making the playoffs. And I tell you, you got a hell of a lot better chance of making the playoffs than you're 0-3. Early, yes, critical as well. It's go time. Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. We've got a great show lined up for you. Donnie Wrightside's going to join us from Atlantic City in a couple of moments. We'll talk some NFL football. The Tony Sincotta joins us from Jacksonville. We're going to talk some DraftKings quarterbacks week 3 NFL. We'll get some picks from Tony Sincotta as well. We'll see who Tony likes this weekend. But as always, every Wednesday, Mark Lawrence, Pat's leadoff. Playbook.com. It's a must read on a weekly basis. You can get the newsletter online or you can get it on your mobile device, the Playbook Cube. Go over to the Google Store. Mark Lauren steps up and in. Mark, always a pleasure. How you doing?
My pleasure, Gabe. Nice to be on board. Just a quick note here. You said Bats leadoff, high school baseball leadoff hitter on the team. First game of the season, going up against this kid that threw 90 miles an hour. He hits me right in the ribs. Second time at bat, I bailed out like a fisherman jumping off a boat. It was the last game I ever started with where I took that first pitch right in the ribs.
That's the last time you ever batted leadoff too, huh?
That was it.
You know, no, all kidding aside, I actually was a leadoff hitter when I played baseball when I was a kid. You know, just classic, man. I had no power, but it was like clockwork. And the coach used to even tell me, just go in there and do what you always do. Every time. Just bam, line drive, one hopper in a center field, you know. And I used to get frustrated because I was trying to smoke it. And, you know, it was all the time. Whenever I'd smoke it, I'd just pop out, you know, to the center fielder.
Sure.
But
sure.
I had that line drive right over the middle of second base that patented down when I was a teenager.
You're talking to the choir is exactly what I had, that line drive. That's why they batted me leadoff. But unfortunately, that chop in the ribs did it for me.
You know, it's funny, though, in the old days, and, you know, hey, you and I don't want to, it's unflattering, but you were probably playing Little League ball in, like, the 60s, right? I was playing in the 70s, so.
That's exactly right.
Yeah,
that's
but in
exactly
those days, it was a good thing to get on base.
Yes,
I was just joking about this last night, actually, on my podcast. You know, nowadays, if Rod Carew was in the league, they'd be like, ah, he's all right, but he's got no power. You know, like honestly, you know, like, and people were talking, last night they broke the all-time home run record, right? 5,600, whatever the hell it is. They broke the all-time home run record, most home runs in a season. And there's a lot of people asking, so is it the ball juiced or the players juiced again? And I think it's the fact that every player basically swings for the fences now because that's how you get paid. And remember in the old days, Mark, it was acceptable that your shortstop didn't speak English and hit 198, but the guy was a great defensive player.
Your
catcher was some, you know, greasy fat guy there, you know, with Coke bottle glasses, Steve Yeager, Ted Simmons, whatever. Hey, they hit 212, but hey, he's our catcher. It's okay.
He volunteered to catch, yes.
That doesn't fly anymore, man. Everyone's expected to hit 20 home runs.
That's exact. No table setters anymore, Gabe. That's the whole key here. Guys that would get on base and start rallies, do things for the baseball team. We don't see that because of the day and age that we live in today, especially Major League Baseball.
Yeah, it's funny. I used to be buddies with Brad Wilkerson, former big leaguer, and he was on the Expos. And he was a great contact hitter. He was a gaps guy. You know, national champion with the Florida Gators, won a gold medal with the Olympic team and with Tommy Lasorda coaching him at the Olympics. The kid was a winner, all right? So he gets to Montreal. You know, he's like a 280 hitter, 283, contact guy, smart baseball IQ. You know, he hits 20 home runs one year, and it destroyed him. It destroyed
him. Sure.
Like, his agent basically told him, swing for the fences, you'll make more money. You know, forget about what's better for the team, et cetera. And that's the way that they play now, so I think that's one of the reasons. That, and I do believe the ball is a little bit wound tighter.
I think the ball is wound tighter as well. It leaves the park with a lot more frequency. But again, as Rob Manfred says, these athletes today are bigger, stronger, yeah, faster, so it's a combination of everything.
That's a good point that you raised, too. In the old days, I don't remember, you know, Dave Kingman was a big guy, Greg Luzinski. Nowadays, you got, like, you know, Aaron, you got a million of these guys, Stanton, Judge, they're all massive, massive men. Okay, so let's jump in. Time flies when we're having fun. It's hard to believe we're already in the week 4 of college football play. I see that it's a homecoming for Purdue this week. I'm thinking homecoming, the season just started.
It's unbelievable, Gabe. Homecoming games are ready here. But I'll say this about that. Homecoming dogs are really, really good plays. Homecoming favorites are almost normally bad plays. So it's a pretty good role for Purdue being a home dog to Michigan this week. I'll throw that in for my 2 cents.
Yeah, you know, I look at this football game, and a lot of people are talking up Purdue right now. I think they might be a day late and a dollar short on this one. As Joey Odessa says, great, my buddy, a great odds maker, MMA odds maker, he's got a great line, instead of day late, dollar short. He goes, you don't want to be late for the wedding and early for the funeral. And I think that could be a case for Purdue backers this week.
It could be, you know, but, you know, you've got Jeff Brohm at the helm there, and he's done a terrific job as a head coach here. You're going to read about this in the Coffee Club tomorrow. Jeff Brohm at home, 18-5 to the spread. He's been a home dog twice. He's won both of those games straight up. This guy knows how to win football games, especially at home.
All right, let's talk some NFL football. Thursday night football, the LA Rams and the San Francisco 49ers. It's amazing to me, and the first thing that jumped off the screen to me as far as this game was concerned was A, that the Rams are favored, and B, that this makes 3 consecutive weeks in a row that the Rams are favored. And you and I think the same, Mark, because I've been talking about this all week. I'm like, how the hell the Rams are favored 3 weeks in a row? And your database says since 1983, the Rams have only been favored 3 straight games 23 times, and they're only 7-15-1 against the spread in this spot. And you know what? The Rams used to have better teams than they have now.
That's exactly the case in point here, Gabe. This is a bad football team laying points as a favorite for the 3rd week in a row. Doesn't matter who you're playing. It happens to be San Francisco, a division rival, who will be up for this game as well. They need that first win for Kyle Shanahan. I think this is a real bad spot for the Rams on Thursday.
I don't understand this one, especially considering I would get this. I wouldn't even get it. If Seattle blew out San Francisco last week, if they had lost 34-6 or something like that, they lost 12-9. They just battled against I don't know if Seattle are an elite team. They're not playing like one right now. But nevertheless, they battled as 14-point underdogs, only lost by 3, and then get no credit for it whatsoever by the odds maker.
The only negative, possible negative here for San Francisco, I shouldn't say the only, there's a bunch of them, but a leading negative might be the fact that they did just play Seattle, and there's always been a bad Seattle letdown syndrome after getting beat up physically by the Seahawks in the next football game. But still, this is a feature game on Thursday, home underdog to a division rival. I think you're going to get San Francisco's best.
How about this? The Rams, courtesy of the database, 1-14 straight up, the last 15 road openers, 3-12. Against the spread. Listen, as Mark stated, there's a lot of flaws with San Francisco's football team, but it's on TV, and you're going to bet it, so we're giving you our opinion on it. Ravens and Jags. I did a little intro, my monologue off the start of the program, talking about the desperation of the 0-2 football teams coming into this week. You know, 0-2, Mark, 11% chance of making the playoffs. 0-3, 2%. I said there's a better chance of me replacing Ryan Seacrest on American Idol.
I don't think that's happening, Gabe.
Yeah, no, exactly. It won't be happening anytime soon. Exactly. So, but at the same point in time, I said, I don't know how good some of these 2-0 teams are. You know, Carolina, how good are Carolina? I don't know. We'll get to that in a second. Baltimore Ravens. You know, Baltimore got the gift of all those Dalton turnovers in week one, and then week two, they played the Cleveland Browns. And now I think they have another pretty favorable spot here playing the Jags in London.
Well, the Jags are really accustomed to being in London. This is their fifth year in a row they've been there, so they won't be taken aback by the travel, the accommodations, and so forth and whatnot. But the fact of the matter is they're still the Jags. They have Blake Bortles as their quarterback, and as we wrote in the Playbook newsletter this week, Blake Bortles, as Dave Malinsky pointed out, is famous for garbage yards. He gets all of his stats when the games are over, meaningless, and don't matter. The spread in this game is small enough. The defense for Baltimore is good enough. I don't think a backdoor cover exists in this football game. I think the Jags go down in London again this week.
Yeah, you have a combination of Blake Bortles, and I got to be honest with you, I was watching that game last week, and the two interceptions and the three passes that everyone was talking about, both of them were off his receivers. Both those passes could have been caught and then were tipped up into the air, etc. But Bortles is a turnover machine, and Baltimore have done a great job. What has it been, 10 turnovers in 2 weeks?
That's what it is with Blake Bortles. You know, you're talking like his agent about the interceptions being deflections. Okay, I'm talking like the GM saying the facts are the facts. They don't lie. The guy throws picks. He throws pick sixes, and he ends up losing football games. So which case do you like? I think Blake Bortles is a bad quarterback, and I think he's destined to be on the bench here sooner than later.
Now, you mentioned, so the Jags go here every year. Their owner is British. So, you know, are they a home team? No. There might be a few more Jag jerseys in the stadium. But one thing that you've noticed here, Mark, courtesy of the database, is, you know, from the playbook, guys, great information. Generally with the London, teams with the better record win, don't they? The better team wins. It's not rocket science. They go there, the better team generally wins. The team with the better record is 7-1 in this matchup.
Yeah, how can you beat that? What you're saying basically is the better team's going to win this football game. They win the game, they cash the money. Everybody in London and England is all about betting games, whether they're football, soccer, or whatnot, or cricket, rugby, whatever. They know about winning games, cashing tickets. That's why people in London will also be betting the Baltimore Ravens, despite the fact Jacksonville is their adopted team.
Yeah, teams with winning records are 7-1 straight up and 5-3 against the spread in London. And, man, I wish I would. I was going to send it, but I don't want to overwhelm the crew here. You know, they're doing a great job with the graphics, Mark, but did you see the Baltimore Raven tweet that they sent out and they put a Ravens logo on Queen Elizabeth's face?
No, I didn't see.
They superimposed. Man, I wish I would have told the guys to get it. We'll get this up for Unfiltered and stuff. We'll get it tomorrow. We'll get it before the week's done. If you guys can get it quickly right now. So the Baltimore Ravens said, you know, they were getting on the plane, so they're I can't wait, flocking to the flocks going to London. And they said, even the Queen's excited. They had a picture of Queen Elizabeth, except that it looked like she had a raven tattoo on her face.
Well, you know, that just may be natural. How old is she? She's 88 or something like that.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, it didn't go over well in London. The Ravens have apologized. They're like, the Ravens apologized. They deleted the tweet and everything. They're like, we're very, very sorry. You know, it was a mistake. So... she actually looked pretty diabolical with the raven on her face, but that's besides the point. All right, here's another one, Mark. Very similar to the Rams. I know I got to bash your hometown boys here, but how the hell are the Cleveland Browns favored on the road against anybody? Like, in any situation. Like, the Browns don't win games. Now you're asking them to go on the road and win a game. I didn't understand this. I'm not going to be running to the window to bet on the Colts. I'm not going to put, I'm not going to put $1,000 on the Colts, but maybe I will. I was on the Colts last week plus the 7. I think the Colts beat them outright here.
You know, I wrote that game up in the playbook this week, and the first word that came to my mind was OMG when I saw this line. What are the Cleveland Browns doing favored on the road in a football game? It's unbelievable. And I know the Colts are bad right now. They're decimated. They're injured. But as you say, they're an embarrassed home football team right now. And more times often than not, you'll find home underdogs in the NFL off home losses the previous week to be a better than even chance of cashing the ticket here. Wrong team favorite in my mind in this football game.
All right, I have two other points to add to this football game, guys. Jacoby Brissett, what a difference it made. They should have won that game last week. I felt bad for Jacoby. He looked so devastated after he turned the ball over in overtime. But hey, the kid played well considering the limited amount of time that he had. Don't forget, now he's got another week of practice with the number one guys. And here's point number two. It's the Cleveland Browns. And here's point number three. The Brownies are 1-19 the last 20 times they've gone on the road.
You know, this is going to be a WTF. How was this line ever made at the end of the football season? There's usually about five of them. When the year is over, you go back and say, my goodness, what were they thinking when they set this line? This is leading candidate number one, the Cleveland Browns road favorite in this football game.
I know, it's crazy that we're going to have such a big play on the Colts, but I might put him in a super contest, actually.
I don't blame you. I might be there. With...
I'm feeling this much. I'm like, all right, man, the Browns favorite. I don't know if the Browns should be favored at UCLA. Dolphins and Jets. All right, talk me out of this one. I don't know if I've got gangrene or I just, you know, I'm feeling it right now. I think this point spread's too high as well. And I loved the fish last week, but the NFL is a week-to-week league, and it's a situational league. And the Chargers played on Monday. It was a short week for them. The Chargers don't have a home field. It was a neutral field, and the Dolphins fans don't even travel well, and even they took that stadium over. The Dolphins were in, they were in California and Oxnard for all that time to get away from the hurricane. So they went back home for the first time after that prolonged period. Oh, they were so focused on that Charger game, watching tape of the Chargers for the entire week because they didn't play the week before. And now they got to go in and take on the Jets in New York. And you can't tell me in the back of their mind, they're not thinking, oh, this is going to be easy. We're playing the Jets. I think the spread's too high. I think the Dolphins probably win, Mark, but it's going to be close. And I tell you, the Jets are 0-2 against the spread, but they haven't quit, man. They're competing on the field, these guys.
I can't talk you off of this game, Gabe. I can only be on you with the Jets in this contest here. Jay Cutler is still Jay Cutler. He won the football game the Dolphins did last week. Perhaps they should have lost because a field goal was missed the final play of the game, but nonetheless, they did win the contest. Jay Cutler in his career on the road, if you will, in division games, just 8-16 to the spread as a favorite in his career. 23-39-3 to the spread. Neither of them work well here in this situation. And you bring out a great point. Miami going home before going up to New York to catch the aftermath of Hurricane Irma. You know, all their family was all concerned about what the home was like, the condition, the neighborhood, yada, yada, yada. So their focus isn't completely on the Jets as it should be this week. I think this is a nice spot for the New York Jets to maybe win that one game they will this year.
This next football game is a tough one for me. I've been wrong. With the Titans in both games. I thought the Titans could beat the Raiders. Wrong. I thought the Jags could beat the Titans. Wrong. I thought the Seahawks could hang with the Packers. Wrong. And then I even got screwed over on a lottery ticket, a parlay card with Seattle the other day. All they had to do was win by four, and I got screwed over because that loser Blair Walsh missed an extra point. But with all that being stated, this is a tough football game. Seattle's really not looked good through 2 weeks so far. Their offensive line is putrid. I don't know if it's going to, I don't know how it can get any better right now. They don't have any ground attack. Their wide receivers are pedestrian. The Seahawks have a lot of trouble, but at the same point in time, I look at this game and to me it's pretty, you know, I can't overlook this matchup. Pete Carroll versus Mike Mularkey.
It's a coaching mismatch from the beginning here, Gabe, and you're talking about a football team in Seattle. Look at the Westgate Superbook numbers that were sent out a week in advance, as they always are. Seattle was the one-point favorite in this contest here. Now, because they struggled at home last week in that game against Frisco, and because Tennessee came up big on the road against Jacksonville, there's been a huge swing, a four-point swing in this line, making Tennessee the favorite. And I'm going to point this out and let you know this, that the last 3 years, Tennessee at home in non-division games, they're 3-6 or 3-13 straight up in those games. Only covered the spread four times. There's value. There's a wrong favorite in this football game here. I think Seattle wins this game. They'll come out of their abyss. They haven't scored a touchdown yet this year. It'll happen this Sunday in Tennessee.
Russell Wilson, 13-3-1 against the spread as an underdog in his career. He did lose in week one as a dog, though, to Green Bay. Pete Carroll, 13-2-2 against the spread as a dog if he's coming off of a win. And as we stated, gentlemen and ladies, you got Mike Mularkey, who's one of the worst coaches in the National Football League, taking on one of the best coaches in the National Football League in Pete Carroll. All right, we've got about 2 minutes here. Penn State and Iowa. This, you know, and it's funny, before I looked at the number and stuff, I saw a lot of people talking about this is going to be a tough game, and oh, Iowa, you got to go up to Iowa. It's going to be tough. And I buy into that. And then, boom, I see the point spread. Point spread floored me. And I never forget something that you always said. Always respect the odds maker. And you can never, you know, you can never question them, especially because if I did, I'd be a richer man, you know. But with that being stated, this spread seems way too high to me.
This looks awfully rich here, Gabe. You're talking about, in fact, this is one of four teams that will be double-digit home underdogs this week that were in bowl games last year. There have been nine of them so far to start the season. They're 0-9 to the spread, by the way. Not a one of them have cashed. So obviously, their oddsmakers are piling on in situations like this. But I'm going to say this about Iowa. Kurt Ferentz, a head coach here, doesn't get out-coached very often here. In fact, he's been 10 times at home. He has in football games when his team's been undefeated, the opponent's been undefeated. Ferentz has won 8 of those 10 football games straight up on the field. This is an overlay here. I think Iowa plus the points is one of the better plays on the card this week.
Kirk Ferentz, 19-5 against the spread with revenge, including 10-0-1 on the last 11. And I think Coach Franklin's due for some bad karma after icing the kicker last week. All right, we got to get out of here. I was on the Tribe last night. No reason not to back them again at a short price. -115.
Yeah, Josh Tomlin is really cooking right now. 31 strikeouts, 3 walks in his last 7 starts. The Tribe's playing to win 100 games this baseball season. They're not going to let up until they do.
Mark Lawrence, playbook.com. If you want to win, get the newsletter. Go over to playbook.com or get it on your mobile device. Thanks, Mark.
Hey, Glade, my pleasure. Have a great week. I'll catch you next week.
I don't know if you guys should be worried or not, but I really like the picks this week. So if you like what you just heard from me and Mark Lawrence, go check out mybookie.ag. Log on mybookie.ag. Get 100% sign-up bonus. Use promo code GTD. You know, my book, they got live in-game betting as well, and live in-game betting is awesome. A lot of times, if you don't want to force a play, if you think, this game's a little tricky, that's the beautiful thing about live in-game betting. You can let the game get going, you can get a little bit of a flow, and then you can jump in. Or sometimes you can get good value, actually, as well on a team. Like if a team gives up a field goal early, you know, the number will switch, and then boom, you get a point. You get a better point spread betting in-game. So check it out, mybookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid. Simple as that, mybookie.ag. Promo code GTD. Get that 100% sign-up bonus. Game time decisions continues.
Hi, I'm Nando DeFino. Is your lack of time for research making you an unsuccessful daily fantasy sports player? Hey, there's no secret to it. To be successful in daily fantasy sports requires a lot of dedicated time for research. DailyRoto.com's premium MLB service is powered by professional DFS players Drew Dinkmeyer and Mike Leone, two of the premier names in the industry. Look, this is their job. From the time they wake up to the time they fall asleep, Daily Roto's premium MLB analysts are doing the research that's required to be successful in lobbies across the industry. Leverage the hours of analysis the team at DailyRoto.com puts in for their own play to your benefit. Remember, knowledge is power, but obtaining information requires a time commitment that most simply don't have. Hey, I don't. That's why I'm a Daily Roto premium subscriber, although I get mine for free. Gain an edge on your competition tonight by visiting DailyRoto.com/premium and let them put you in a position for success. DailyRoto.com.
If you guys can find a show that talks more about NFL football than you tell me, we talk more about NFL football than shows on the NFL Network does somehow. All right? NFL football. Joe Lisi is going to join us tomorrow. We're going to talk college football with Joe, but we're focused in on the NFL. And I want to talk about a game that I'm really starting to like as the week progresses. Let's bring in a man that gets it done every morning / afternoon, 12:30 Eastern Time, sportsbookreview.com. He kicks it with the big man on campus. Donnie Wrightside steps up and in. What's going on, Donnie?
Hey, having fun, Gabe. Thanks for having me on the show. Let's get down and talk some NFL football. It's hump day. Got a couple more, you know, maybe a day tomorrow to talk Thursday night football, but nice card on Sunday. And I know I've been hearing you talk. Looks like you're seeing things pretty clearly here this weekend, Gabe.
I really am, which that should worry me. And it should worry other people as well. Because anytime you really think, you know, you find out, you really don't. But let's jump right into here to a football game that I'm starting to see pretty clearly. We have an 0-2 New Orleans Saints football team getting 6 points against a division rival and the 2-0 Carolina Panthers. All right, the Carolina Panthers haven't given up a touchdown this year. They've only given up 6 points. They also didn't score a touchdown last week against the Buffalo Bills. They won because of 3 field goals. They couldn't punch it in inside the 5. The offense, Cam Newton's nowhere near to 100% right now. He always seems one hit away from getting severely injured. So you get the Saints, they're 0-2. Let me ask you, Donnie, You look at Carolina. They played against San Francisco, and then they got Buffalo. You look at the Saints. Saints played at Minnesota, and they played New England. If the Saints would have opened with the same schedule, and they would have went to San Francisco, and then they would have hosted Buffalo in the Superdome last week, they would be 2-0 right now. And if the Carolina Panthers went on Monday Night Football last week, they would have lost to the Minnesota Vikings, and they would have lost to the New England Patriots on Sunday. So 0-2, 2-0, I'm not so sure what this really means coming into this game.
Yeah, I mean, looking at both teams here, you're right. Is it any shame that New Orleans goes on the road on the opening night of the season in a primetime football game and loses to the Minnesota Vikings? Minnesota Vikings are going to be a pretty good football team once they get Sam Bradford back the rest of the way. Also coming home against the New Orleans Saints. Did anybody expect them to, you know, maybe put up a fight? It was in the Dome. It's Drew Brees. You always have a chance. But no shame in losing that football game. Same thing that you talked about with Carolina. Two games set up there where they didn't have to do too much to win the football game. The one thing that you want to look at in this one is in the first two games, if we look at Carolina, they do have a good defense. But again, versus the Buffalo Bills, held them down. Not really great offense. San Francisco 49ers, not really great offense. You're going to get a complete turn here when you're going to face the New Orleans Saints. They're going to be able to move the football. The one thing, you know, you hasten to try to get too excited with so far with the 2-0 start for Carolina is the health of the football team, primarily their quarterback. And also, let's not forget, Greg Olsen's going to be out for, you know, just got IR, so he's going to be out 8 weeks on the NFL season. That's that security blanket when things aren't going well. He's always open over the middle. 6 yard gains, 10 yard gains, keep the sticks moving. He's not going to have that this week, so that's going to be an interesting game plan.
A lot of pressure on Kelvin Benjamin right now, and Benjamin's okay. He's making a couple of plays, Greg Olsen is that security blanket, and McCaffrey really hasn't lit it up. So we are aware the Saints' defense isn't great, and maybe Carolina's going to be able to run the ball on these guys a little bit. But you got a desperate Drew Brees right now in a football game that he thinks he can win. You know, Drew Brees, in the back of my mind, he'd never say it publicly, but Drew Brees knows going into Minnesota on a Monday night against one of the best defenses in the NFL is going to be tough. And, you know, you're playing Tom Brady in week two. Now they're going in here. It's a division game as well. The other games weren't division games. So it's like college football. It's like a conference game. Even more critical, not to mention, you and I talked about this, Donnie, earlier in the week. The fact of the matter is, the last three times they played, it's been decided by 3 points exactly. The other game was decided by five. Last four times combined, 14 points combined. These two teams always play close football games. I'm saying it right now. I think the Saints can win this game outright.
Yeah, and again, it all comes down to the adage in the NFL, Gabe. Most games are played close within a touchdown. We're not even asking. If you look in the back of the New Orleans Saints, you don't even have to ask them to win the football game outright. It always comes down to is that they're down double digits, Gabe. Let's just say there's 10, you know, down 10 points with 4 minutes to go. New Orleans has the football. They can walk down and score a touchdown here. That's how good Drew Brees is. He's done it multiple times in the past. A great quote-unquote junk time quarterback to pad his stats and move the football downfield. It all comes down to me is how is Carolina going to game plan with this game? I know Funchess at wide out, you know, Benjamin at wide receiver. But again, Cam Newton's not in midseason form just yet coming off that injury. I think they're going to look more to stay on the ground there. Maybe Stewart, get McCaffrey more involved in this football game. But I agree with you here. Early prognosis here, probably leaning towards the points would be a smart decision here.
Giants and Eagles, very similar situation that the Giants are into the Saints. They're 0-2. I talked about this off the top of the program. 0-2 football teams make the playoffs 11% of the time. 0-3 football teams, Donnie, 2% of the time. So, the Giants are going to be in a desperate frame of mind. It's also a division rival, et cetera. Yet, I like the Saints. I can make a stronger case for the Saints than I can for the Giants. Although, I don't like the fact that Willie Snead's out for the Saints, and I should bring that up, actually. But as far as the Giants and the Eagles, you're an Eagles guy. You look at his football game. I don't trust the Giants, but I'm not in a hurry to be laying six with the birds here either. What's your take on this game?
No, it's a great take, Gabe. I mean, over the summer, if anybody's ever heard me talk on my shows there, this is one of the games where I circle with the Eagles should win this football game. But betting and winning, it's all about getting value. Opening up before the game on Monday night, before the Giants played the Detroit Lions, that line was a soft opening game at 3.5, which I thought was about right, maybe 4 at most. You saw after that game, there's always going to be an overreaction. The line jumped up to 6. Looks like some places are settling into that 5.5, between 6.5 range. It's all about betting value. Do I think the Philadelphia Eagles will win this football game? Yes. because the one thing you can lean on, and I know that's a desperate team, an 0-2 Giants team. They have to win. What better way to do it than in Philadelphia, get a division win, put the Eagles at 1-2, you're 1-2. But again, it comes down to, Gabe, the offensive line. If you're an injured football team, let's just say Odell Beckham, he's probably going to get healthy. If you lost a cornerback as in Jenkins, he's going to get healthy. The one thing that doesn't get healthy throughout the year is going to be your offensive line, and it probably will only deteriorate with injuries throughout the line. I don't think the Giants are going to make the playoffs. Again, your strategy, the stats that you use to go 0-2, heading to 0-3. I think the Giants are already done this season. The one thing I hasten is I'm not too sure how long Eli Manning is going to last. A non-mobile quarterback back there with a sieve of an offensive line. I look Eagles here. Do I want to bet them? You're right, Gabe. At 6, I don't know. Maybe I want to see some back, maybe see some people that are going to be out for the football game, some final injury list here. But this is an Eagles winning football game. How much they win it by? Because again, the Giants do have a very good defense, and the Eagles aren't just going to go up and down the field on that Giants team. But to me, if I had to pick the game, give me the Eagles here. The matchup is just too good to pass up.
Eli Manning's been sacked 8 times this year through 2 football games, so 4 sacks per game. Philadelphia Eagles have 8 sacks through 2 football games, and a lot of quarterback pressures as well. We'll be taking a look at the QB sack prop to the over. Hopefully we can get a nice 4.5. The odds maker is going to be on to this. They might make it an even 5, but that won't scare me away. We should note the Eagles are 3-7 straight up and 2-8 against the spread in home openers if it's not week 1. So if they've already played a game and then they're playing at home, just 3-7 straight up, 2-8 against the spread the last 10 times. All right, Donnie, here's a game in which it almost seems too good to be true and too easy. And anytime it's there's nothing easy about betting on football in the National Football League. Raiders are laying 3 against the Redskins. You know, you and I both watched that Redskin-Eagle game pretty closely in week 1. And then I watched the Redskins again in week 2. They are what they are, the Redskins. The Redskins are an 8-8 caliber football team. You know, they can look good on a series or two, and then they can look bad on a series or two. They're very inconsistent, and their defense is mediocre. And now you got a Raider team coming in here. Yeah, the Raiders get Denver next week. So some people are talking about it being a look-ahead. I don't think there's a look-ahead when you're playing on Sunday Night Football on primetime television.
Yeah, you're right. The Raiders, I mean, they're that high-profile team. Looking ahead, I think the Raiders expect to be here. Usually a look-ahead game, I like to use it a little bit more, saying, you know, we're that up-and-coming team. We're not ready for prime time. The Raiders were a really good football team last year, expected to be a really good one here. The one thing, looking at the Washington Redskins, you know, maybe the eyes can deceive you a little bit. They were a play or two away from beating the Philadelphia Eagles. They actually had full command of that Rams game last week, coming in up double digits for most of that football game. So they seem to be just getting their track, but it does look too easy, Gabe. 90% of the tickets currently coming in here, backing with the spread, the Oakland Raiders on the road. Also showing up on the injury report, Mason Foster today for the Redskins, the inside linebacker that clinched the game last week with the interception. Doesn't look like he's going to play. Rob Kelly dinged up there with a rib injury. We always know Jordan Reed is a play away from not playing in a football game. The Raiders look too simple here. I'm trying to build a case for the Redskins and how they can hold up. It's a home game. It's prime time. You're not asking them to win the football game. It's probably going to close, Gabe, to me, around 3.5 to 4 come game time in this one. But it's hard to step in front of the Raiders. You're not getting that, you know, West Coast to East Coast 1 o'clock game that you can play off of. You also saw already an opening game, which they beat a very good Tennessee Titans club on the road, came back, didn't even have a struggle versus the Jets. We say, whoa, they really escaped that football game. They're going to be banged up. They're coming in here somewhat healthy in this one and on a mission. So if you're looking and saying, you know, just don't trip yourself up, it's obvious the Oakland Raiders are the better football team here.
Yeah, we got to get out of here, Don. Let's look at the Redskins as well. All right, 2 years ago, they lose that home game to the Packers. Last year, can't beat the Panthers on Monday Night Football. A Panthers team was playing for nothing. Couldn't beat the Giants in the last game. They opened up the season this year, home opener. They lose to the Philadelphia Eagles, and I was on the Skins in that game, and you're right. Game was much closer than the final score indicated. But nevertheless, the Redskins are not a good home team right now, and there's a pattern of Kirk Cousins not playing well, or at least not playing well in a couple of moments in these bigger games, and I just can't trust them against the Raiders. We got to get out of here. Donnie, it's always a pleasure, my man. Great stuff. Check out Donnie over at sportsbookreview.com, sportsbookreview.com YouTube page. Donnie's got a million videos up there. Thanks, Donnie.
Thank you.
There's Donnie Wrightside with us. The Tony Cincata, the one and only Tony Cincata next.
In a sport where going 3 out of 10 will put you in the Hall of Fame, it goes without saying that playing baseball is pretty hard. That's why major leaguers are always looking for any edge that they can get. Daily Fantasy Baseball isn't any different. DailyRoto.com's premium MLB Daily Fantasy Sports service has been cited repeatedly by the world's best players as the service they trust the most for their information edge. Visit DailyRoto.com/premium and enter promo code DAILY for a special discount on all the information that you can handle.
Game Time Decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. I always love talking to the Tony Cincotta, breaking it down DraftKings style. Don't forget to tune in to Tony. He's on TV every night. It's 6 o'clock with Dane Martinez, getting you locked in, giving you your DFS lineups for the night. And then, of course, he's going all night long, man, all night long. And I'll send you a message later, Tony. I'll give you my phone numbers. Like I said, if you ever want to call me at 2 in the morning or something like that, I'd love to come on the Tony Cincotta Show in the middle of the night, live from Jacksonville, Florida. The Tony Cincotta joins us. Up, what's up, Tony?
Oh, you know what? I get everyone fired up, right? And every once in a while, I'll get your clip from the day, and I'll play that when I'm getting tired because you get me all riled up and you get me all emotional. And I love when you get on your rants. So we play them on the news desk every once in a while to get people emotional because, you know, it's funny. And I've certainly gone this way. I've lost rooting interest in my favorite teams until the playoffs start. Then I become a fan again because it's all about making money. It's all about being correct and projecting things. So I've lost the fanaticism. But you still have it. You get emotional. You get fired up. I love it.
Yeah, I do. I do. But at the same point in time, I'm a fan of whoever I bet. Like today, some guy in my elevator asked me with this tape, are you a Yankee fan? And I told him, I'm a fan of whoever I bet on. He didn't really understand the answer, I don't think. But the day I lose my emotions, the day I guess I got to get out of this stuff, because that's what keeps me going. It's crazy. I was talking about this yesterday. I don't drink coffee or energy drinks even. Imagine if I did. All right. Nor cocaine, despite what so many people on YouTube say. This guy must be on coke. He's on coke. No, I'm not. Cocaine's full of fentanyl. Don't do it. That's the public message of the show. All right, let's get down to business. DraftKings quarterbacks. Last week, everybody focused in on the four quarterbacks in the two track meet games. Brady, Breeze, Rodgers, and Ryan. And the results weren't there for all those quarterbacks. And it's funny. You know, Matt Ryan, he's not putting up massive numbers, but they're winning. Jameis Winston last week, part of a blowout win. 12 fantasy points over at NFL.com. It's been a very, very strange year. And I look at the quarterbacks, Tony, coming into this week, and I see more negatives than I do positives with a lot of the big names. So let me go down the salaries here, and I'll throw the name at you and agree or disagree with me. Tom Brady, most expensive quarterback on the board. Really? He's playing against the Houston Texans. Yep. They got a great freaking defense. Not to mention, the Houston Texans' game plan is going to be to milk the freaking clock as much as possible. And they don't want to get Tom Brady killed against Clowney and J.J. Watt. This is a horrible spot for Brady. No way he should be the most expensive quarterback. Pass for me.
I could justify Deshaun Watson as a better play at $4,700 because he'll rush for 40 or 50 yards right there, gets me 5 points. And at that salary, if I get 15 points, I'd be great. So all I need is a garbage time touchdown. Tom Brady will not be in any of my lineups.
Aaron Rodgers, $7,300. Bengals are 0-2, but not because of their defense. You look at the Packer injury situation, and maybe you know more than I do about this, but what's the deal with Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb coming into this game?
I don't think Jordy Nelson's going to play. Randall Cobb's going to be a game-time decision. I agree with you. I am not going to pay up for him as well. The Bengals' defense has been good. Their offense hasn't scored a point. That's why they're 0-2.
Drew Brees, similar situation. Third most expensive quarterback, $7,200. Now, you know, if you look back at the history of the Saints and the Panthers rivalry, Tony, and I've been breaking this game down a lot this week, they do historically play very close games, but they're usually 23-20, 27-22. They're in the low 20s. They played one track meet in the last, like, 3 years, and I'm not so sure this is going to be a track meet. You know, Carolina haven't given up a damn touchdown yet this year, and without Willie Snead, you know, that Saints offense isn't clicking. It just isn't right now.
I'll tell you what, 2 years ago when the Denver Broncos played Carolina in the Super Bowl, I thought that the Carolina defense was just as good as that Denver defense. And then last year they took a step back. They lost Josh Norman, but I'm not sure he can play anymore because Washington got him, and they've been had a worse defense since he's arrived. So I think the Carolina defense is back, and I think this is going to be a game. It's going to be close, and I'm interested to see how many people are going to go with Cam Newton against this terrible Saints defense. I'm not going to go that route either, but I think a lot of people, hey, if the Saints keep allowing points, if Cam Newton doesn't do it this week, when will he do it?
Yeah, that's the thing. Cam Newton, $6,600 in this matchup, but without Greg Olsen. Without Greg Olsen, so now suddenly you're counting on Funchess, you're counting on Benjamin. McCaffrey's finding out that guys are a lot faster in the NFL than they are on the Oregon State Beavers right now. He's not in the Pac-12 anymore. I can't pull the trigger here with Cam Newton either. It's a strange football game, $6,600. Carolina Panthers only averaging 16 points per game after playing San Francisco and Buffalo, which leads us to Trevor Siemian, who's been a stud this year so far. Guy's been awesome, 6 touchdowns in 2 games. He's racked up 47 DraftKings points in 2 weeks. Yet this is his first road game, and that Buffalo Bills defense is pretty good.
The Bills defense is pretty good, but I think that we always forget that they have 2 elite wide receivers there in Denver. And I think that he's a very, very underrated Siemian. All he has to do is get the ball to these 2 guys. And with the advent of C.J. Anderson in this running game, now you have to respect that running game as well. Get one of these guys in one-on-one coverage, and he should be able to make some big plays all year long. I don't think he's looking over his shoulder this year with Paxton Lynch now injured and proven that he can't play, been beat out twice. I think Simeon's a good player. I think he's one of the better quarterback plays this week on the table.
You know what's insane? That Trevor Siemian somehow is less expensive than Jimmy Garoppolo is.
Yeah, that's crazy. I know.
Really? Where are you, Jimmy? I don't know. Whatever. All right. Okay, so you like Trevor Siemian here. What do you think of that game? You think they're going to beat the Bills?
Yeah, I'm throwing my money all over Denver, and I know what happens. I know what happens in these games when it looks too good.
I know.
It's really too good, and I expect Denver to win by 2.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's funny that this next game and his next quarterback, and a quarterback that I'm actually considering playing here, is the Raiders. It almost looks
That's
too simple as well. So are we on the same page here? So we just went through all these quarterbacks. This is the first guy that I'm like, man, the price is fair at $6,800. 5 touchdowns, no picks on the year. And in both games, he's never really been airing it out or forced to air it out. That Tennessee game was tight. He didn't put up massive numbers or, you know, it wasn't an aerial attack. Last week, it was a weird game against the Jets, but they were up late in that football game. Now is a football game that I think both teams are going to be throwing the football down the field all night here. And I've said this every week. The Redskins secondary should be good with Norman and Breland, but it isn't. It just isn't. They're ranked 26th in the league after 2 games. They're giving up 269 yards a game through the air. And they played Jared Goff once, guys.
Yes.
And they're still giving up this type of numbers. What the hell is Carr going to do to them?
I like both quarterbacks in this game. I think these guys are the 1 and 2. I think this game with the 54 totals, where you attack here. I really think the Oakland Raiders have allowed big plays on the Kirk Cousins side. I think there's been an unfamiliarity with his wide receivers and those guys staying healthy. And if they do, I think Cousins is there, and I think Carr is there. 75% of passes complete for Carr thus far in the season. I love both the quarterbacks in this contest, and I think these are the 1 and 2 guys, and they're right there similar in price. Kirk Cousins in that offense, you know what? It's built an offense. The coach is there. He's only completed 61% of his passes. It's going to get better. I think both these guys, and this is a 60-point game to me.
You know, we got to get out of here, Tony. I got about 20 seconds. But another guy to catch my eye is Matt Stafford. Even though I think the Falcons are going to win this football game, Stafford's having a great year, $6,200, 6 touchdowns, 1 pick. He's, you know, he's going to throw the football here, $6,200.
It's all about opportunity, right? He keeps throwing. The guy's the MVP after 2 games.
Yeah, exactly. You know, those are the 2 guys that I have circled. I like where you're going with Cousins, too, but I've got it narrowed down to Derek Carr and Matt Stafford as 2 solid DraftKings quarterback plays this week. Tony Sincata, check him out at 6 to 7 on the television network, radio 11 to 3 every night. Always a pleasure, Tony.
Anytime.
The Tony Sincata. Tony's on all the time. Game Time Decisions continues. Plays of the day next.
We'll be right back.
DailyRoto.com's PGA Premium Golf product will change the way you think about fantasy golf. Their statisticians have developed a revolutionary approach to golf analytics, giving you access to proprietary stats plus a forecast of each golfer's weekly performance. For each tournament, you'll see a player's projected fantasy points and his chances to make the cut, along with visualizations to help you decide who to roster and who to fade. Unlock the winning edge in daily fantasy golf at dailyroto.com/premium. Enter promo code DAILY for a special discount.
Time for our plays of the day. Can't wait for the gridiron to return tomorrow, but we're doing pretty good with the baseball this week. Chicago Cubs, these guys have been red hot, man. Why get in front of them? We're laying a short number here against the Rays. Rays have been fading. Give me the Cubs, -115. Milwaukee Brewers and the Pirates. Pirates just can't score right now. They've been shut out two nights in a row. Let's go under 8.5. Nationals, Gio Gonzalez on the hill. We're going to lay it at 55 cents. And the Indians, lay the price with the tribe. Eight of winners be yours.